Peace and blessings, my friends, and welcome back to yet another episode of Thought for Food. Before we get started, I wanted to acknowledge the grief that a lot of us have felt recently in the passing of the basketball legend Kobe Bryant. I know it has affected us in a lot of different ways. Some of us were shook down to our core. Some of us didn't even know we'd feel that way when his time came, or even being aware of a death of someone we know only through association could have impact so deeply on our caring hearts. I have a friend that also lost his grandmother that weekend, and that news brought my heartache even more presently upon me. So I think we have this ability as humans, this uncanny ability to feel deeply what others are feeling. So it's no surprise to me that when the idol of so many people fell, it dug into the caring center of all of us, even those who otherwise may not have given a second thought to the passing. So to my friends that have been affected by the passing of Kobe Bryant, to my friends who lost their grandmother this weekend, or anybody who's currently grieving the loss of a loved one, we want to send love out to you guys. Just know that we feel it too. We want you to take your time to grieve and reflect and cry on a shoulder or two. Do whatever you got to do. Just know people out there that got you. And for this episode, we just want to take a quick 24 seconds of silence to commemorate and hold in the hearts those of the people that we lost. So just a quick moment of silence for everybody. All right, my friends, here we are at episode 3. We are at Ohana Grill, Hawaiian Fusion Eatery. We are right across the street from Sloan's Lake in Edgewater, Colorado. We have only a couple of Hawaiian places in Colorado, so it's nice when I come to Ohana because they always deliver. They always bring it. I love coming here and sitting in the island-themed dining room and diving right into two or three of the spam musubi. There's a little rice and spam that gets wrapped in a seaweed. It is phenomenal to die for. I'm a big fan. I walked in here yesterday to speak with the staff, permission to shoot here, talk with the manager Kara and the owner Rich. And they were so kind and accepting of us to have a shoot at their location. When I talked to Rich, the owner, also the chef, is originally from Hawaii, has been stationed out here in Denver, Colorado for 12 years now. Ohana started as a food truck and is now a restaurant, grew from there. If that's not inspiration, I don't know what is. I think, it's nice to see your vision come to fruition from a food truck all the way to a restaurant right here from Sloan's Lake. It's pretty cool. So while we were talking about it, I asked Rich what it is that he liked about Denver, like over Hawaii, like why he settled here. And he simply pointed out the window towards Sloan's Lake and that unmistakably gorgeous Denver city skyline. He said that view in particular reminds him of sitting on the ocean in Waikiki looking towards his city. So that keeps him connected to his homeland. I thought that was pretty fresh. So a huge thank you to Rich and his staff here at Ohana for gracing our city and our bellies with this fine establishment. Come check his place out and get you some delightful, innovative Hawaiian-fused cuisine. For today's conversation, I'm blessed to be joined by two really good friends of mine, a couple of friends I currently work with in the service industry, the beautiful and lively Chef Penny, and the Venezuelan heartthrob Ricardo Cordero. This is an exciting episode for me since we are in fact establishing two firsts on the show. The first woman on our show and the first person not born in the US of A. I haven't checked his papers, but I have checked his his character and he checks out. So Ricardo kind of does it all. A handyman, a photographer, positive energy bringer, the type of friend who will help you no doubt when you are in times of need. And then Chef Penny comes to us by way of New Orleans, has grown and clawed her way into becoming a mighty fine woman and a mighty fine with mighty fine cooking abilities. Mighty fine friendship abilities, just a wonderful person all around, both these people. I love it when she comes out of nowhere in the middle of my shift and offers me up some food that she's cooked down in while I'm on the job. So it's nice to get you through a tough day when you get some fine southern home cooking. It's always delightful. So here we go, friends. As always, thank you for watching. We here at High Bread wish high power upon you. By now you should know where to find and support us. Please tell your friends about our show. We'd love to have them be part of the conversation. As always, like, subscribe, and share. Find us at highbreadco@gmail.com. Support us over at patreon.com/highbreadcollective. Without further ado or delay, episode 3 of Thoughtful Food is upon you. Let's go. Was that bad?
No, I'm just kidding.
Was that bad?
No, that's fine.
Yes, indeed.
Liquid Aloha. Aloha.
Is that what it says on the cup? Liquid. What does Aloha mean? I guess we could look it up.
Isn't it hello? Like a greeting?
I think aloha. It is aloha, like hello and goodbye, but why would it be liquid hello and goodbye?
It makes sense.
Aloha.
Instead of saying hi, it
is, bye. It is hi, probably bye. A lot of different meanings for sure.
With the beer.
Aloha. Hey, oh, there was Rich.
I like how the winkle, you kind of got
the greeting. Our parting from someone.
So, a liquid aloha, huh?
A liquid hi.
Liquid hello.
Here. Yeah, I like that. Get it?
Oh. Hello. Welcome.
Yeah. But then welcome. When, it's, like when it's goodbye, then what is it?
A shot, probably.
Well, that's
I don't know.
Do you want a water too, or are you good?
I think she did. I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't see anything blue or Hawaiian coming from that bar.
Nope.
Hold on. We gotta take a second.
Yeah, we'll see if we can get that. We'll see if we can get that going.
She forgot about it.
Maybe. She was too.
There's a lot. This she had. I was thinking about how she remember all this. What's her name? Is it on SNL or Ellen, where they like they make fun of like servers that can remember everything?
Oh yeah, yeah, it's an Ellen. Yeah, it's an Ellen comedy special.
It's so funny.
And she's like, I think everybody should be a server for at least 1 year in your life.
Yeah.
That way you can learn how to treat people. That's and crazy. Like, yeah, I'm like, I'm cool with that. That's a good idea. Ellen DeGeneres is hilarious. All right, well, we'll figure out what's going on with this drink. Actually, we'll just roll into it now since we're already recording. Hey, Lori, right?
Yes.
She had ordered a drink, the Blue Hawaiian.
Okay.
Yeah, if you don't mind, just so we could get started. Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay, so we'll roll into it. Welcome everybody to episode 3 of Thought for Food. Like I explained to you, I am here with Chef Penny.
Hi.
And the Venezuelan hot crowd, Ricardo over there. Thank you guys so very much for coming and being a part of this with me. I'm really looking forward to this conversation. I think it'll be dope. We always have an incredible time when we work together.
We do.
So I thought this would be I have a lot of respect for you, Penny, for people who have that culinary expertise cooking. Like, I like to cook, but I know I'm nowhere near that level, you know what I mean? And then Ricardo, you know, it's not every day you meet somebody that's from another country that's as down to earth and, you know, connected as you are. I love what you do in helping out your people and helping out the community. And so I'm really looking forward to this conversation. So how are you guys doing today?
I'm good. He didn't help me today.
Yeah, we had a little miscommunication today. I thought I was gonna die today. Penny was very this close to killing me.
Nah, a little scheduling.
I was shaking when she got here. I was like, oh man, she might just come loaded up. Who knows?
Penny has the ability to strike fear in the hearts of the most masculine man. I'm for sure.
I just wanted to say that we do this, Lucas. We love you, man. I think, yeah, you know, everyone can feel you're a very high very good, positive energy. So I think I definitely have a lot of hopes that you're gonna make it.
We're already making it. To be honest, brother, we're already making it. Regardless if this video reaches 100,000 people or it reaches the four people that I know currently watch it every time it comes out.
It doesn't even matter.
This show is a success. It's in the success to people like you. You guys willing to come on and like be a part of a conversation. So that's not a thing. You know what I mean? Right. We're already a success. My dude Aldo, again, helping us out. Hi, Aldo. Always, you know what I mean? It's just nice to get together, get creative towns together, and then, like, put it out. You know what I mean?
Eat some good food.
Eat some good food.
Yeah. Thank you, Ohana Grill, for that. Have you ever been to Hawaii, either of you?
No. I still want to go.
It is expensive. But that's... It's never stopped us before, right?
True that.
We spend our money all the time on things that...
That we wanted to...
Hawaii would have been... It's definitely one we could save up our money.
For real.
Take a trip together.
I want to go to Jurassic Park one day, so I have to go to Hawaii.
Is that... Oh, you mean like the where they filmed Jurassic Park?
How do you know? You never been?
They actually have a Jurassic Park. Here, I'm going to move this closer this way. They actually... But, like, I know they filmed it there, right? That's definitely...
Yeah, definitely.
Okay.
So, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Have you ever created anything, like, Hawaiian dish inspired?
So, we had a banquet at Wenku.
Yeah.
It was a full buyout.
Yeah.
I think it was 500 people. This was last year sometime. And they had a Hawaiian-inspired menu that I came up with for those guys. So, it was, like, a variety of things that... I had to come up with, and then I wrote them like a list of 20 things, and then they picked like 10 or 12 of them.
Yeah.
So.
Was it difficult for you to come up with a Hawaiian menu since you typically don't cook that?
Like the appetizers wasn't the bad part, but when it came to like them wanting different types of tacos and stuff like that, then it became kind of complicated for me because I'm like, okay, now I gotta really dig deep and I gotta think like, well, what do they like? What do they eat? What'll make it? You know, what will they enjoy?
So is that involved in, like, the research? Thank you, Kurt.
Look at that.
Appreciate it.
Looks beautiful.
Now that your drink's here, let's cheers, actually. Let's get a cheers out of the way.
Cheers to Kobe.
Cheers to Kobe. Cheers to our loved ones, for sure. Let's get the cheers out of the way. Cheers to you guys watching this. Thank you. So it involved a lot of research on your part.
Right. It did.
So how would you describe, like, your typical culinary expertise? Is it down south home cooking or soul food? Do you have a name that you put on?
Well, I do, like, a lot of Cajun food because of where
I'm
from.
Cajun, yeah.
But I can cook it all. So I've did everything from, like, African-inspired dishes. Like, I do it all, you know. It's just when I don't do it as often. So when someone comes to me like with a specific menu, then I'm like, okay, so tell me more about it so that way I can make it happen for you. Because like the flavor is gonna be there, but what exactly are you looking for?
Right, okay, yeah, for sure.
And Penny will be the one to make it happen.
I've witnessed on many occasions the fried catfish and fried okra that we get consistently. Yeah, the gumbo.
Honestly,
which is
the gumbo,
amazing.
I sell the gumbo so easily and people are so happy every time they buy that.
It's
the easiest thing to sell for me and it's because it's so good.
And it's not like, so again, we know it as Penny's traditional New Orleans gumbo, right? Louisiana gumbo.
But yeah, it's a New Orleans style gumbo.
Is it true that it's your grandmother's recipe?
It is.
You will not be getting, and nobody will be getting the recipe.
No.
To ever. Like,
I try.
We sell it as,
and nobody knows,
as Chef Penny's gumbo at the Wing Coop. We don't tell you what's in it.
Nope.
You just sit and enjoy with a piece of cornbread.
Yep.
And that's it. And then, so, like, that differs from other gumbos, how?
Well, like, they have. Like, we have a chicken and sausage gumbo, which is the one that I do because I'm allergic to shrimp.
Yeah, you did tell me that, right.
So I do the chicken and sausage. That way I can taste it. Not saying that, like, if I do the seafood, it won't be the same. It'll still come out the same.
It just won't be.
I can't taste it.
Right.
So I'll have people, like, little guinea pigs tasting it for me.
Right here.
But
all day.
In different parts of the South, they do have people that add, like, different ingredients, like, to their liking.
Sure.
Sure. But we won't talk about
like tomatoes and corn.
Sure,
and,
yeah, I've had some with that. Right.
And it's like
that's not more of a traditional
gumbo. Yeah, that's not how we make it. Yeah.
Right.
So
gotcha.
Yeah.
Makes sense. I like that. I absolutely love the gumbo. And that was the thing for me is like I always thought it did contain seafood as well.
Right.
And
then so it is a seafood one, but it's expensive. And like when you're cooking it in large batches like that,
right,
it'll go bad faster because of all
the seafood.
That makes sense.
That makes sense. So it's not good for a restaurant setting where they need
to.
I got you.
That makes sense.
Unless it's like a mom and pop restaurant to where you're making it every day, you're selling out of it every single day.
Right.
And then
so you're remaking
like,
it every day as well.
But like
that
in
makes
the
sense.
Type of restaurant that we have with it being so big and having a large menu, like that wouldn't work out because sometimes people want fish and chips, sometimes they want meatloaf. So.
Right. When the colder days, I mean I've had so many people who seem regulars simply for the fact that we have gumbo. And like when we didn't have it on the menu a few months ago, I had a few reasonably upset customers at the fact that we didn't have your gumbo.
That is true.
And I'm like, damn, like I didn't know it had that kind of impact on people, like where they're coming as regulars just to have the gumbo. We are known for our beers and everything else, but you're coming specifically for the gumbo.
Right.
It must be doing something right.
Right.
Yeah,
and, like, it was unfortunate that I had to take it off the menu because we had some pricing issues in the back of the house part. But I bought it back in November, and now they're trying to... We're working on a new menu for the summer, so we're trying to see if we're going to keep it.
Right.
Because... And it's up to me, honestly.
Yeah.
And I just want to know, like, if it'll still sell...
In the summer months,
like back home it does, but like here it's kind of different.
Yeah, soup and gumbo. That's more winter type of flair.
I was thinking with the amount of different people that we have coming to Denver, especially just as tourists in Denver, it will sell. I'm sure of that.
We have
because we don't just have Denver people coming. And it's like, it's summertime. I'm hot. I don't want to. No, people will still come here and eat gumbo because. It is that delicious, and people talk about it online.
Well, I mean, and it's got to be something that brings happiness to somebody if, you know, these people are willing to come in and, like, are visibly upset by the fact that we don't have it.
Right,
and that was in the summer. So, like, yeah, I mean, I think, you know.
We got a lot of emails about it.
Yeah.
It's like the shepherd's pie. Like, people come, like, 15 years after, and they still want the shepherd's pie.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like, how good was the shepherd's pie, man?
Isn't that a testament to how... How good food just kind of makes us feel if taken in the right. You know, I've recently changed my relationship with food because I love food, but I, you know, because of how big I've gotten, I've enjoyed it in excessive amounts. But like, I've changed my relationship with food to where instead of just enjoying it for how much I could have, you know, enjoy a smaller portion and enjoy it more thoroughly.
Right.
As opposed to just trying to shove everything that you can in your mouth because it tastes so good. It just tastes so good. And it feels good while you're doing it, but like after the fact, you know, when you're overstuffed, like that has the opposite effect.
Right.
You know what I mean? What are cuisines down like in South America? What did you grow up on? What was it like?
Well, you know, I'm from Venezuela originally, so... Venezuela has always been a country that's always had immigrants from all over the place. Everyone's trying to get a piece of Venezuela.
Of Venezuela?
We have Russians down there right now. Like, what are Russians doing in Venezuela? You know what I mean?
Oil.
But we had a lot of Portuguese, Italian immigrants, Colombian immigrants, a lot of Puerto Ricans. We've had a lot of Dominicans. So we get the European flavor also infused with some of the Caribbean flavor. And also just the main Latin America. You know, there's certain things that we grow in Latin America that... I've always been with us, like plantains and of course coffee, but Italians in Venezuela, like I grew up going to pretty much Italian bakeries growing up my whole life.
Oh, that must have been lit.
And it is ridiculously good.
Wait, not Portuguese. All your life, because you were there for...
Yes, I was there until about, I was 8 years old.
Okay.
But I go every year because my family's still there, so you know, I always had that connection with them, and it's like every year you have to take that trip.
Yeah.
Just to see your family.
Connect, yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, every time I just go and just
growing up there, and every time I went down there, it was just every time it was just around food. Yeah. Honestly, like every time it was family gatherings, it was a pig out. It was right. Because everything is so good down there. You could get everything.
Yeah. Did you guys do pig roast? Like the whole pig?
Cubans do more of that, a little bit more. We do it. There's certain parts of the country that do that, but we don't do that as much. What we would do, we would pretty much just have a whole grill out. So we don't only have pig, we have everything.
Yeah.
Of course, Venezuela is a very agriculturally diverse place, so you can grow pretty much anything on there because you're close to the equator, so you can grow a lot of things. But I would say our main things, of course, very Hispanic. We eat a lot of rice and beans.
Yeah.
Of course, we pair with some kind of meat, so that always changes. In Venezuela particularly, we have this thing called arepas, which is our kind of our version of our sandwich, in which we pretty much just stuff with everything.
Oh yeah, you showed me that at this
Edgewater Public Market, which is
you told me about it.
The biggest place in there. It's a Venezuelan place.
Arepas.
And arepas, is, I feel like it's a lot of people don't really know about it, but it's going to grow because it's like such a good breakfast item because it is technically vegan. It is pre-cooked corned beef or cornmeal. So that makes it vegan, and then you can just put any kind of vegetables or eggs or meat or chicken, anything you want.
Yeah.
So that's something that I think is going to keep growing. There's like 3 or 4 different Venezuelan restaurants in the city, so I feel like people are going to catch on a little bit more to, I would say, Venezuelan South American food.
Mm-hmm.
There is one Colombian restaurant here, but it is very popular, but there's only one or two,
there's, and it's, so it is very, as diverse as it is, you know, the bar and grill in Denver had been like the highlight of Denver restaurants for so long.
Right.
But since like for the last 10 years now with the growth of Denver, you look around, you see all kinds of different places from all types of different regions of the world. There's this Cuban place I love to go to, family owned and operated. They make their meals every day and they only sell a certain portion of the meal to close down after it's done kind of thing. And so, like, you know, it's places like that, like, you know, that we got to find out, give these places our money, our blessing. Because, you know, shop local. I've been on this real big, like, do local thing.
I've been doing that, too.
I've been trying to visit as many, you know, I'm not trying to do as much as I love Chili's and Applebee's.
Happy Hour.
Applebee's, my favorite.
Yeah, yeah. It's a wonderful time in the neighborhood, right? Or whatever their slogan is. But there's, at the same time, like, Rich here started his business as a food truck, and now he has this place.
Right.
There's a lot of those people out here. That would benefit greatly from us giving them our support and our dollars that would otherwise go to these bigger places that will ultimately still survive. The bigger places will ultimately always survive because they have such a, you know, bigger advertising dollars. You know, their lunch and dinner rushes are gigantic probably compared to something that is happening here.
And we did that last night, actually. We went to this little small local place, kind of saw it on the side of the window.
Rico,
like,
let's give it its shout out. Rico Pollo.
And it was rico, man. Yeah. It was Rico Pollo. It was really good.
But
I think that's something that I've gotten better at, and I think you kind of support that. I just try to buy locally, you know, try to go to your local restaurant. I mean, I get Outback and all these big places are, you know, they're great, but try to help that local restaurant because that could be your neighbor.
It could be
Penny trying to grow her own restaurant, you know, so it's always very, very important to support your local restaurants.
I agree. And there's something to be said about like locally sourcing, you know, when we're outsourcing things from all over the world. I had read a article that says, like, the apples that are grown here, we don't even eat, like, the shit that's grown here. Because it gets grown here, and then it's sent across the world, and it's cleaned up, and it's washed, and then it's the process is lengthened, and then they redistribute it amongst the world. It's a very costly thing to keep doing that. And it just keeps costing restaurants more money, in turn costing us more money. So if we could think about localizing our money a little bit more, we might be able to save ourselves a bunch of heartache in that sense.
We got to bring it back. We got to come back to local agriculture. Like, why are we depending on these?
Like farmers markets.
People can grow their own things in their backyard. I've seen people do this, not only in Canada. I've seen people here doing Colorado and Puerto Rico too. A few places that are kind of like, all right, let's stop going to the grocery store.
Yeah.
we can grow these things in our house.
In our house or in a small plot in the backyard.
Yep.
I think sustainability eventually is going to get to that point.
We're getting there. We're getting there.
I hope so. I think Denver is progressive enough that, you know, maybe the things that we do around here could kind of lead the charge.
For sure.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I don't know if the powers that be want us growing our own fruits and vegetables.
Right. They don't. You know? But we can do it.
We can. Yeah.
There's no law against it.
I'd like to
see. Not yet.
Somebody buy a house so we can do it.
Yeah, right. Absolutely. You're absolutely right. I mean, you know, my... at our...
is it guys?
Who's here? All right.
Who's here? Yeah.
That's
excellent.
Ooh,
poutine.
Oh my god, that looks so good. Yeah, oh, sure. That looks better than I could ever imagine.
Thank you, Kara.
Oh, thank you, Kara.
Appreciate it.
Oh, we got soy sauce.
Yeah, we'll get all that coming. So yeah, I think
thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of a lot to show the food up.
Yeah.
I think there is a lot to be said for, you know, trying to get that movement going. Have you ever grown a garden or anything? Done anything like?
No, but I have family members that did.
Yeah.
Well, still do.
In New Orleans?
In Louisiana. So like on the outskirts.
Gotcha.
Like my uncle.
Yeah. And do are they? So is that like? Is there everybody is a cook in your family? Or are you guys all like
we
is that
all,
like a family?
We all cook. I think my brother, like, he's in between like wanting to go to school to be a chef or a mechanic. But we was raised on cooking. Like I was always the child in the kitchen.
Yeah.
So I For think sure. it stuck with me more than.
Did you go to culinary school?
I did.
Cool.
Where'd you go to school, Penny?
In Atlanta.
Ooh.
The Cordon Bleu.
Ooh, the Cordon Bleu in Atlanta? That's why you were in Atlanta. I got you. I know.
Do you, you spent some time in Atlanta too, right?
I spent some time. Atlanta is the most fun, most dangerous city you could spend.
I mean.
You could spend time on.
All I know about it is T.I. and Ludacris and Killer Mike.
I love Killer Mike.
You ever heard of Freaknik back in the day?
I've heard of Freaknik. I've only heard of Freaknik.
It's like the biggest black party all around the city. It's just the wildest
thing. It's real hood
ranch. Heard of or seen. I wasn't there for that. Thank
that
goodness.
Was back in my mama day.
Yeah. Thank goodness, because that was wild.
Wait, before you eat, we gotta get the dedication. Oh. But we gotta wait for my food.
Oh yeah.
First. I mean, if you want to dive in, you can go ahead.
It really just looks that good.
It does look very good.
So Penny, what did you get? We gotta talk about what you got.
I got the poke tuna with wonton chips.
Okay. Ooh, that sounds bomb.
I got the sweet potato poutine. Spent a little bit of time in Canada, and poutine I fell in love with.
Yeah.
It is just one of the easiest, most comfort food
love me
that you could ever have.
Poutine. Thank you.
Anything else you need?
The mac salad. The side of mac salad.
And what did you get, Mr. Luke?
I got the teriyaki beef and chicken with a side of Hawaiian vegetables and slaw. And then that spam masubi. I don't know if y'all got a chance to see this.
Look at
spam.
This is ridiculous.
Masubi. Just spam on rice and a seaweed and some sauce. That thing is amazing. Thank you, Ohana Grill, for this meal.
Yes.
All right, and like I told you guys before, when the meal comes out, we kind of give a dedication, kind of like saying grace to for our meals and for everything. I always start for tradition. Last episode we had, I gave a shout out to the construction workers in light of my dad. So this week, I want to give a shout out to all the angels in the outfield, I guess, in light of my mom, super caring individual. Unconditionally gives love to the neighborhood, to everybody. And you know, there's people like that in our society, that like our nurses that take care of people, the people in the old folks home that are taking care of people and they're passing when they're passing in hospice care. And you know, the firefighters, ambulance workers that got to deal with seeing death and dying every day. So this goes to the people that care for other human beings, for their livelihood, for their safety. So this meal is dedicated to all the angels playing the outfield. Thank you. And what you got?
So I'm going to just say amen to what Luke said, because I can't top that.
Yeah, okay. Of course you can.
So
There's no need to top it.
No, it's nothing that I can say. You know, you covered all of it.
I hear you, no doubt. No worries. For you, sir?
honestly, man, for me, having a big meal like this, sort of like going out and, like, you know, how poor people spending a lot of money out on food, it sort of hits heavy for me because I kind of saw how my Venezuelan folks have been struggling extremely hard. Just the whole political situation has been very bad. It's put a lot of people in very bad situations where they can't even afford food. Food's not even coming into the country. So I guess this just goes to all the, you know, all the people that I have worked very hard in helping other people in my country to be able to have some food, especially the kids. You know, there's kids out there, moms that don't have that opportunity to provide a meal for their kids because of the whole situation. Yeah. So for me, having a meal like this makes it very emotional.
Yeah.
So I just want to dedicate it to all the people out there that are helping my Venezuelan people, which is all from all over the world, to be able to have a meal. Because a lot of people are not even having a meal one day.
Yeah.
So, word up. Thank you to all those people that are working very hard, and trust me, their words isn't going unnoticed.
Amen to that.
See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Mama, I love you.
There you go. That's a nice thing.
I love you too, Mama.
No doubt. And I did hear about that. Yeah, let's dig in, guys. We can definitely eat now.
Enjoy.
I heard about that. It was on a John Oliver episode or whatever. And he was talking about the Venezuelan problem, and it's the leader out there, right? I mean,
it's not the leader. Feel like there's a bunch of just greedy men, and when you have a bunch of greedy men that want to do illegal things, and there's no actual law structure, you can pretty much do whatever you want.
And they don't care about the little guy in the process.
They don't care because they come from things like this, and you would expect people to want to, you know, sort of have a good heart and help. But no, they're just pretty much just stealing everything and just forgetting about everyone else.
Yeah.
And that's what happens when you live in a lawless country. That's why I admire this country so much, because even though there is a lot of unlawful things that go on, there's still some kind of, what is the word I'm looking for?
Cohesion, there's a lot of cooperation.
Not cooperation, people are here accountable. There's a lot of accountability in this country. And it's kind of getting proven by, you know, what's going on here in the political situation with Trump and an actual current trial. You know, kind of getting held accountable for some of the stuff he did. So, like I said, this is something that we're not seeing down in my country very much, which...
Accountability.
This is the kind of thing that I do appreciate about living here, and why we'll never go back to live over there.
Yeah. I don't want you to go back to live over there. I want you to stay right here with us.
It's beautiful. But, like I said, the law is kind of...
Yeah. And, like, so... I'm always in a perpetual state of, what can we do? At this level, how can we come together and help situations like that?
Right.
It's tough.
It is tough.
Because even if you try to help, like I said, there's like food. There's a blockade going on right now.
Can't bring imports from America specifically.
So what can you do at that point?
Right.
The only thing that I thought I could do is what I did is that I went down to Colombia this past summer. And I just donated a bunch of food that I know was getting in the right hands, getting delivered to people that actually needed it.
But did you have to go there to do it, though?
I didn't.
Okay.
Is there a place to set up?
There's a good United States nonprofit that is doing all that. It's called the UNHCR.
Okay.
They're pretty much part of the United Nations, and they're pretty much helping everybody down there. So I just helped donate to them, and I donated a bunch of, like, food. And honestly, I feel like that is the biggest thing that I can do.
I think it's that's important to say one more time. That's the UNHCR.
Okay. Right. It's part of the United Nations, and like I said, they're pretty much helping a lot of people down there.
Yeah, that's good.
I know a lot of Colombian agencies too. You know, a lot of people, sort of like South America, is coming together. Chile is letting a lot of Venezuelans come in without any paperwork and work and be able to, you know, try to get a hand in their life. So,
yeah.
Places like Chile, places like Peru. Colombia, you know, they're helping out, but that's a whole, you know, another international issue.
Argentina is on my bucket list.
Argentina's beautiful.
And that's the thing that upsets me about this idea that we need to put up a wall to keep people out.
Right.
It's like there's so many people struggling, you know, and like in dire situations. Like it's life or death. And for a lot of these people, and they have families and people that they care about, and we're just like, no, you can't come here. Knowing that we have the resources to help people here.
Right.
We'd rather spend our resources going to war, building machines and weapons of destruction, as opposed to building more farms to feed people
You know, even in our own country, we deal with food issues.
Here in Denver, you see it.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Right. Why are we still spending all of our capital building weapons of war as opposed to building a finer, more sustainable economy and environment?
The United States thought is that war is profitable, and it is.
It
if you
is.
See the stocks and all the stuff that just went up.
It's
like
more
crazy.
Profitable than
it's about the money.
Food.
And that's the United States. It's about the money. You don't come here living in a peaceful country because you know the United States has always been a war country.
Right.
You come here to make money. That's
right.
The whole point of this country,
it's
I think.
Supposed to be land of the free, they say.
They
that's
say.
Not such
they
thing
say.
Anymore.
I mean, but that's, and that's the thing. So, like, you know, they, you know, I always, they build up a certain structure for you to grow up upon. I remember in America when I was young and in elementary school, we used to have a Pledge of Allegiance to a flag. And this was before I even knew what pledging allegiance to anything was.
Right.
You know, I didn't even know that I could pledge allegiance to my mom and dad for bringing me into this life. They wanted me to pledge allegiance to America.
Right.
Like, I will forever be in debt to your holiness, America. Thank you. Like, no, I could barely read and write at this point, and I know the lyrics to the Pledge of Allegiance word for word. You know, and so it is. They absolutely do seem much more profit. And, like, that's not freedom. I didn't get the freedom to choose to pledge allegiance to America. I was forced into that. So, like you said, it's supposed to be the land of... A lot of us on this level don't see it as that.
Right, and then it's like, it's crazy because when you go into talking about the Pledge of Allegiance and things like that, so they want you to pledge to this flag, but they don't want to teach you about slavery.
Right.
Oh, you're going
to get deep with it.
Right.
You still know?
Deep.
To be honest with you, this is one of the things that I learned while living here. It's like the history, it's so...
skewed.
Yes.
Propagandized. They make
yep.
it to be what they want it to be
mm-hmm.
so that you feel like you're living in this great country, so that you feel like you should pledge your allegiance to such a magnificent thing.
Right.
We slaughtered so many civilizations of Native Americans, slavery. I mean, the list goes on and on. Not, you know, whatever other conspiracy you want to throw in that America might or might not have done, possibly. You know what I mean? That is a possibility. So yeah, you're absolutely right.
Here's something. Because
it's like land of the free, but Colin can't take a knee.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Like it's crazy.
Not without any kind of backlash.
Right.
Not without being that same old. We're gonna paint this brush with a darker hue than it is intended, so that the people that we want to maintain allegiance to our country will do so.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, they don't, you know, because it could easily have been, man, this man is standing up for his First Amendment rights and the right to protest. Easily could have been, that's America. That's what we fight for.
Yeah.
Instead, it's nah, here's another ungrateful minority
yep.
who doesn't like the little bit that we handed him, trying to get more.
Mm-hmm.
It's all about phrasing and perspective at that point. Because it easily could have been, no matter what race you are, that is an American idea. Doesn't matter, white or black, do it. We want you to do it.
Right.
We want you to do it. That's America. This is how we make social change. It doesn't change if we can't get our ideas around, our head around the ideas that America is founded on together.
Mm-hmm.
So
I do have hopes, and I do believe it's going to change. I think our generation is going to change a lot of things that
yeah.
we, of course, see.
I sure
wrong.
Hope so.
I see it. I see it happening little by little, but it is going to take a little bit more time.
Little by little. And, like, the biggest shining example is the fact that we have of all, what are we on, the 45th president now? There's been one blemish in color, you know? So maybe that, after 200 and some odd years of... the same old same, maybe that's a good idea that we start inserting. And there's more minorities in Congress these days than there's ever been. More women in power now. So you're right. I also do have hope. But we, like she said, we can't overlook the fact that all the things that got us to this point in the first place.
Yep.
You know, we can't overlook the fact. I mean, we could talk about how great it'll be when we do have equality between men and women and all different races in this country. We can talk about that all we want. how nice it'll be that hopefully my children, you know, I have a dream that my children, like, you know, I am that dream realized, because I am born with a white mother and a black father, that, you know, white children and black children can play in the same park together.
Right.
And here I am. You know what I mean? So we are what it looks like, what America is going to look like.
Yeah, for
right.
sure.
In about 50, 75 years.
Oh, God, it's going to take that long.
It's going to take that long. We are going to be, like you said, our generation. And, like, imagine the generation that comes after us that is going to be waiting for us to die off so that their things will start taking hold. You know? Because that's what we're waiting on, right? Aren't we waiting for the generation above us to pass so that we can make these changes?
Right.
I think slowly happening. I think we gotta choose the right leader next time to not push so much hatred, and then we'll be all right. Because there is still a lot of hatred in this country.
It is.
Penny and I, like we mentioned, we lived in Georgia, and I saw it all the time.
It shows.
And
Alabama and Mississippi is the worst.
Mississippi is the worst.
Have you experienced, like, I'm sure you have, what? Have you, like, do you have a moment in your heart of racism that sticks out more so than others? Like, were you ever fear of your life over a racist interaction or?
No. Okay. Because I laugh at it.
Yeah.
It's ignorance.
Is it?
Yeah.
You know why? Because it's like the same thing that you can do, and I could probably do it better.
With more tact.
Yeah.
More tact, so more style.
Like, yeah,
more
sweat. It's like. I don't let stuff like that bother me. I laugh at people like that. You know, it's crazy. Like, nothing you can say can really hurt me. We're already at the bottom, right? So it's like...
That's a good way to look at it.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good way to look at it. I mean, it was always that I'm rubber, you're glue. Yeah. Whatever you say bounces off of me and sticks to you. That was the old childhood adage.
Yep.
Like, that's when we were kids. Tell me shit. It's on you. I'm rubber, you're glue. What about you? I mean, I still, even this day and age, like, even going to work at Wynkoop, I encounter people who are thrown off by my appearance. Again, we're not judging people by the content of or by the color of their skin more so than the content of their character, which is what we should be doing.
Right.
Exactly.
And, like, you know, I still get those looks. I still get women holding their purse a little tighter every time I come close. What about you? Have you experienced blatant racism to the point that,
I mean, going in high school,
it affected
college,
you?
A little bit. Like, there were some comments that were just like, dude, I don't even know you. It's like, what? You didn't even know who I am. And I was, honestly, one of the top students, but they just... It doesn't matter. That does not matter. It doesn't matter who you are. It's just that there, it matters what color skin you are.
Because they're ignorant.
Because of the ignorance, and it's not just that. It's like the way they were brought up. So sometimes not even that person's fault itself. So that's why I don't really blame them. It's just like you were just raised differently with this kind of hate over nothing. It's like if somebody just was raised to just hate parents. You know, just random.
Yeah.
And that's not their fault, man. It's like that's just the way they were brought up. If they don't know any better. Maybe if they travel a little bit, and that's always been my thing to these kind of folks. Like, if you just travel a little bit and go see the world in other places,
yeah,
you see how it doesn't even matter. Venezuela, that never mattered.
Yeah.
We were all friends. We all the same. Like, it doesn't matter if you're white. You were like, you were the catira, which means that you were like the blondie, and they were el negrito, which is like the little black kid.
Yeah, yeah.
And then we had me, you know, the mulatto. You're like, it doesn't matter. We're all friends, you know. Not once I think that was mentioned.
Yeah.
About, oh, you're lesser because of your color of your skin. That never happened. So coming here, like at a young age,
a little bit of a shock.
In Miami, it wasn't that bad.
Right.
But in Atlanta, it really kind of gave me like a culture shock. I was like, whoa, this still happens? Like, I thought we were over this.
Oh, wait, we gotta pick it up and bite it like that?
If you want, I mean.
I don't have a knife.
Here, y'all can borrow mine. Yeah. Oh, there wasn't one in the wrap. Y'all can borrow mine if you wanna cut it.
Sure.
But it is because of that seaweed. Sometimes it all sticks together, even when you're trying to cut it.
Oh, we're here. Well, maybe I'll just.
You want me to cut it in half?
I'm gonna just dip it.
Cut it in three.
Cut in threes.
I'm savage as often as
savage
I possibly can, so I use my hands.
It is sticking all together too.
It is. Yeah.
You got it. I got it.
You got it. So yeah, I mean, back to that issue. I also believe that it can't just be blamed solely on ignorance, because brainwashing, as we all know, is a mighty real thing.
Yeah.
These people have been brought up with a certain idea since their inception that there is something other than you, and that other is the enemy. It doesn't look like you, doesn't talk like you or sound like you, therefore doesn't believe the same things you believe, therefore it is your enemy. And even if it does believe the same things you believe, you know how many Christian, how many black Christian families are out there that deal with black, white racist Christian families?
Yep.
And you all have the same God.
Beliefs, yep.
Love thy neighbor.
Yep.
Goes out the window as soon as you walk out of church.
As soon as you walk out of church.
So what was I in there for?
Right. Right.
You know, one thing that I think you could see this, I mean, it's just a movie, I get it, but the whole Jackie Robinson movie, number 42,
yeah.
There's this kid in the stands with his dad.
Oh, yeah, the N-word.
Yeah, and they throw the N-word, the dad starts throwing the N-word around, the kid's confused because he's such a good player. He's like, but why are we downgrading him? He's like, he's a great player. But the kid just looks at his dad, and he's just like, it's like, then you start calling him the N-word, too, just because that was the thing. And I was like, that's the way I see it.
And as kids, I think, as kids, I don't know about y'all, but like, initially we look up to our parents so much so that we want to reenact the things that they're doing. And if they're doing some holy, immoral, just, you know, shit like that, like, you know, we probably would have the tendency to fall into that.
Right.
I consider myself lucky in a sense that, you know, I can't pick sides. I can't pick one side or the other, so I stay here neutral, trying to bring love to both sides.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? My parents won that fight for me. My parents went through everything they had to go through in order to love each other, in order to create me.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that's beautiful to me. And we need more of that. We need more of that. So if you're listening, go find yourself a lover of the opposite race and make children right now, because we're dope. You got a...
anything else?
Yes, please. I'll take another.
Yeah. Do you guys have more chips that I can get?
Yeah, absolutely.
Anything
else?
This is Kara, our great server.
Can just some more water.
Kara.
Cool.
Thank you.
Gotta give Kara a little bit of credit.
Oh yeah, no, the whole spot. Like, this is such a cool venture because I get to go around to places. I'm big on community. And I get to go to places, meet people like Kara and Rich, and, you know, kind of set these things up. This is a real cool venture for me. So
it's when you told me about it, I was like, it sounds like a lot of fun.
Yeah.
It's like, this sounds like something I want to help with and make it happen more and more.
Because
there's me being new to Denver, there's so many cool places here that I never even experienced or even thought it would exist. So that's one thing I do, is I go around, try different places. There's a magazine we get at work called Dining Out. There's always great places to go.
I've seen it, but I never
read that magazine. Like, I learned about Ace, the ping pong place.
Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah, that was cool.
It's a ping pong bar. Not going to promote it, but it is a cool place.
It's community. It's community oriented. The place is called Ace, and it's dope. Maybe we'll do an episode there eventually.
Ping pong, food and beer.
Ping pong, food and beer. The staff was real nice there, too. I remember Tia, the girl that helped us out, was real nice. For us, because we're servers and because we're in the industry,
we
have a huge respect for people like Kara and the job that she does, you know what I mean? It's not the easiest to deal with some very unreasonably unruly people at times, but we still do it. I still take joy in doing it and helping our common man go out and get his food and beer and whatever you need. Like, so yeah, I'm cool with it, and it's like, you know, we get to give back in this scenario, you know?
We
get to at least, like, let them know they're appreciated for the job they do, because otherwise, I know you feel it, you guys feel it, it goes unseen sometimes,
yeah,
the hard work that we do in this industry.
Yeah, yeah, sure. The thing is, like, we're pretty much like psychologists in a way. We deal with all kinds of personalities.
We deal with all kinds of personalities.
You gotta try not to punch anybody in the face. Or sometimes it's just kind of hard to just hold back and hug that person too, you know?
Yeah.
So it's like, sometimes you want to do both.
Thank you.
Yeah.
But we can't do that, so it's kind of like you gotta learn a lot of self-control in a way to make sure you don't step out of bounds and you don't cross a line with somebody that's just hangry, maybe. I get hangry all the time.
So yeah.
I get it.
Just get a couple beers in them and get a couple of bites of food in them. People change
drastically. That happens to me, man. I lose it when I get hangry.
You got hangry yesterday?
Oh, yeah.
Were you hangry this morning trying to find this place?
Yes.
Feel better now that you got some food?
I'm glad we could laugh about it.
There's two Ahanas, apparently. There's one here in Edgewater, and there's one in Highlands.
Highlands, yeah.
Let's get it right.
Come to Ohana
Don't
Grill.
Don't be like Penny. Ask which one you're going to.
Come to Ohana Grill.
Come to the one in Edgewater.
In Edgewater first.
Better view over here anyway.
And yeah, and then we'll go check out the other one in Highlands.
That's fine.
So yeah, and that reminds me, so on, what was it, Sunday? Sunday was the day, and I was working, and that was the day Kobe had passed away, that whole thing had happened, and rest in peace to Kobe, his daughter, and everybody else that was on that helicopter as well. But we had a gentleman come in, he's decked out in his Kobe jersey, had his Lakers hat on, and you could tell he's had a rough day, been drinking all day, and had got to the point where he had drank enough that he got himself angry, was acting a fool at the bar, a black gentleman probably in his 30s. And
I was scared for everyone that day, by the way. I was literally scared.
I hear you. Yeah, he was acting irrational, but that's what happens when you get too emotional and drinky at the same time.
He was big. He was like what, 250?
He's stocky too. Built.
Big guy.
I mean, I went on.
What time was it?
It was like nine. It was like 8 o'clock actually. I had to walk downstairs. I talked to him. I calmed him down. I mean, you got to understand that, in that situation, he's feeling so many feelings that he didn't even know he could feel. One of his heroes just died. I mean, and, I always tried, personally, I tried to disassociate myself with any kind of like hero or icon tendency, but he even affected me.
That was hard.
It was hard. I mean, because I started thinking about, everybody else that's on the plane, and there was mothers with their kids, and the father with their kids, and Kobe with his kid, and they all went down with their kids.
Yep.
How frightening could that be? Your one sole purpose as a parent is to survive your kid, and you're not able. So aside from that, like I'm just touching on how. I'm just touching on how it affects people, like that gentleman that was there that night. He was definitely having the worst kind of day that you could have. He was out commemorating Kobe Bryant, and then walked back into Wincoop Brewing. He was really agitated about something, but you could see it in his face. He's just not well. And so, like, that brings me to, like, how did you guys deal with the Kobe or that whole experience on Sunday?
Well, like for me, I've been a Lakers fan since I was 10 years old.
Okay.
So that's, what, 19 years ago?
Yeah.
And that's when he first started playing for the Lakers.
Right.
But I can honestly say I wasn't a Lakers fan initially because of him, because like I said, that was his first year.
Shaq Diesel.
Yeah.
LSU.
And Kobe, what got me into it was Rick Fox. Like, I used to see him, like, on TV and stuff, and I'm like, oh, my God,
Rick,
this man, I'm telling you,
he's pretty.
And I'm like, I want to watch this
Rick
game,
is
just
pretty.
So, So then, like, the more and more I watched it, I got into it, I was taught the game. And, of course, like, if I'm a Lakers fan and he's the star, like, this my guy. So Sunday when I found out, Ricardo actually sent me the article on Instagram.
She was like, bullshit.
And I thought the same thing.
I thought the same thing.
Yeah.
I'm like, anyway.
Yeah.
And then literally everybody at work started talking about it. So I was like, well, can this be true? And then like me and him kept going back and forth on it. And I'm like, no. So it's like I went from a point of disbelief to just shock. And that's how I remained the whole night until I got home, and then I cried for like 2 hours.
It's hard. I actually I sent it to someone that was working at the Pepsi set, which is the crazy story. Because I sent it to everybody. I was like, oh my God, like this can't be real. I, like, I just want to see if it was true. I was like, is this for real?
Can somebody validate my feelings right now?
Yeah, it's like, this can't be true.
Right.
But I sent it to someone that was working at the Pepsi Center, and literally, like, I sent it, and then, like, 5 to 10 seconds later, this person saw everybody at the Pepsi's, because it was a game that day, and it was, like, right before the Nuggets game. And, like, everybody was looking at their phone, and everybody just started looking at each other. Like, it's like, did you get this? Is this for real? And that was, like, because at the Penn Center, you know, it was like basketball game and everything. Cool, so I was like, holy shit. Like,
24,000 people all in the same spot, the thing is, like, thinking about the same thing.
That person told me, it's like, everybody started looking at each other. Like, just trying to get validation that this is real. I said, did you just get that? Like, and it was kind of cool, that fact that people were actually, everybody was, like, about it. It's like, and the other thing, it just taught us how life fragile really is.
How connected we are.
It's like,
right?
No matter what you have, no matter how well you're doing,
yep,
life is very fragile, and at some point, someone's just gonna leave this earth, man, and there's nothing you can do about it.
Right.
We can grieve, we can mourn, that's what we could do about it. We could keep the loved ones in our hearts and honestly know that they're never gone, like, because they're not. You know, I always have this idea that because we are so intricately connected with each other, that even when we pass on to the next side, we're not gone, because we live on in the hearts of everybody who we've come in contact with, anybody we've had an impact on. The legacy of somebody like Kobe Bryant will last probably for as long as Jesus's legacy. Same kind of thing. Jesus had a legacy. It lasts till this long. We'll keep telling our stories about Kobe. Somebody's still telling stories about your great-grandmothers. Like, we live on.
I see what you mean.
Because, like, what's the saying? To be absent from the body is to be present with Christ.
Yeah. Ooh. Okay. I like that. Mm-hmm. I like that. And that's not even, like, insinuates death, the passing of sorts.
Right.
I mean, because you're absent from your body essentially when you're sleeping.
That's just your person.
Yeah, that's just, yeah.
That's just my person.
Yeah, yeah. Little beanbag. Meat soup.
Like that.
The only thing I didn't like about the Kobe passing situation, like, if it hurt us fans that way, then.
Family.
Like, his family and his close friends, like Shaq and LeBron, Tiger Woods, like, people who are really, really close to him, like, why tell them that this happened and then record their reaction? Like, the media nowadays is like, it takes over everything.
No.
You know what I'm saying? It's like, this man just got off the Lakers team plane in LA, and you record LeBron James as he's crying. What purpose is that serving?
Do you buy into the limelight when you become a superstar, when you become an iconic figure like that, that accelerates you into that limelight? Do you just have to accept the fact that that's what it is?
It's going to happen.
I don't
because
like it
no
either.
No matter what you do, no matter how you try and hide, they
don't like
find
it either. Yeah, take a moment to let that person grieve a little bit. Let them,
right,
if they want to post
but
something.
But then it's like,
well,
we still have to do our job. But
no, do it tomorrow.
Right. I feel like that. This is not the time for that, though.
Yeah.
Now, if you see somebody doing something with somebody they ain't supposed to be doing it with, then okay, whatever, do your job. But like we're grieving, and it's like you. Just
put a camera in my face.
Yeah.
Did you hear about the sheriff? Like, the sheriff was pissed from that county. He's like, I can't believe, like, TMZ will, like, blow this up on the internet.
Oh,
I didn't even
did
get a
before.
Chance
to tell
his wife and, you know, the mother of his daughter that, you know, like, this happened. Like, everybody was finding out through TMZ, and, like, that is just so disrespectful. He's like,
yep.
He said this, like, a very disrespectful, very low, and I agree with that. Like, the media needs to chill.
TMZ is a piece of work.
I don't think that, I mean, it won't. I mean, obviously, we sit here about it and talk about how much we don't like it and how much we want it to change, but that's what those people do.
That's what those people do.
I get it, but there's somebody at the top of that company, you know, and I get the numbers.
They're also about this more so than they are this.
Trust me, I get it, but at the same time, it's like, because if they're not going to do it, someone else is going to do it. I get
that. Right, exactly.
But at the same time, can you at least give the lady a call? I mean, just give I don't know. I don't
know. No, I hear what you're saying. Absolutely.
I think I find it so.
They absolutely could. They absolutely could. It is absolutely a choice that they have to do that, to report it right away, or let things settle down and then report it at another time. But like, but then it's like, you know, it's 24 hour coverage.
As soon as he's getting off the plane, he's walking and he's crying and he's like, "Here's LeBron James."
Yeah,
that's just rude.
Stepping off the plane. Yeah. He's crying. And it's like,
what a bitch. No, I'm just kidding. Just like, you know. I'm just kidding. Yeah, I had somewhat of the same reaction as you guys when my brother Adrian came out the room and showed me the New York Bulletin. I was like, this is fake news.
Yeah, that was me.
I was like, next you're going to show me Trump is president for the next 20 years, no questions asked. Like, I thought it was fake news.
Tiger Woods died at some point, right?
I didn't think it was. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, for sure. Ultimate Warrior. There's a few. Yeah. Tupac's still alive out there, I'm sure.
I think he is. I'm just throw that in there.
Tupac's still alive, just for the record.
Tupac is still alive. I mean, it's just, what is that about us? Like, and it's our immediate, I mean, so maybe we need more of that, that distrust of the news, information, and sources that get pushed on us, like, right away, so that we don't get too involved in the story until all the facts come out, until more facts come out. To the actual authorities that had the possibility to investigate what happened and why it happened. I mean, there's already conspiracies going around that somebody shot him down.
And the wife set him up to get a check. And it's
she didn't get a check because she had a ring on her finger.
They are fine.
She doesn't need life insurance.
And then it's like, okay, if she did that, then why was a child on the plane, on the helicopter?
Because they're going somewhere. They're going to practice. Yeah, motherfuckers.
I want life insurance or some more money, so I'm going to send my child with you.
Like, that's worth it. Right. No mom ever.
No mom ever.
Like,
ever.
Come on.
No mom ever.
Well, that's not true. Casey Anthony.
Not Casey Anthony.
Yeah. I guess it. Wrong. So we're not talking about.
Maybe 99.9%.
Yeah, sorry. Most moms. Right. Oh man. So, the story had broke. I disbelieved it. I couldn't believe it. And then it just kept coming out. And you started getting the pictures and everything. I was like, damn. Well, not so much for myself. Like, it affected me for sure. But I knew I was going to be more responsible for all my friends who had felt it on a more cellular level, just because of their ties to icons and stuff. And like, it definitely affected me. You know, I want to be there for everybody who goes through times of grieving, even in my time of grief. And that's this. And as unfortunate as it is, the blessing in it is as such as if you look around the world, it connected a lot of people.
Yep.
You know, we come together over big events in our lives. I mean, obviously I'm not trying to equate it to terrorism, but like, look what happened after 9/11. You get a lot of people coming together for the same reason. So like, you know, hopefully we realize, like, what I want to take away from this is that, you know, notice how much it affected everybody around you. Again, different looks, walks of life, but come together for one common reason, and, you know, we could do that more. We don't have to just do it when somebody passes away that's on a big level like this, or something traumatic or dramatic happens in this world. We could just do this for each other. We could just be here for each other and make sure that when your neighbor's crying, or like my friends David and the Martinez family, they lost their grandmother the same weekend. And, just to know that you could be there for these people, for everybody when they're experiencing moments of grief.
Right.
Be there. Answer your phone when somebody calls. especially if you haven't talked to somebody in a while, you never know what that person is going through. Answer that call. Forgiveness is key. Like, you know, obviously all the stories about what happened in Kobe's past, I don't want to hear about that shit.
Me either.
I want time to grieve. We could talk about, we've had plenty of time to talk about that. We could have time to talk about it in the future.
She was paid off while we still talking.
Whatever the case.
You know, it's
There's no, and then, you know, that thing never came to, there's no conclusions on whether or not he was guilty for that or not.
Yeah.
But I told somebody about it, and they were like, I don't care, he's a rapist. I'm glad he's dead.
Whoa.
And, you know, I'm not, I can't do that.
Like,
I wouldn't
that
do that.
Know.
I wouldn't do that to anybody. Because you don't know that
person. I have this post. I snapshotted it. I was going to show y'all.
Yeah, show it.
So somebody put, like, a picture of him and his wife on Facebook and said, rapist, LOL. Wow. Karma is a bitch. Shouldn't be going around raping women and bullying children on social media. I hope his daughter screamed as the fire burnt her body and Kobe watched helplessly. The only bad thing was that his wife and other children were not with him.
Wow. That's some psycho person. Honestly, I think, like I said, you brought people together. It's like, it just shows how life, how...
There's two sides to every coin.
It's just how life, you know, how life, how vulnerable it is. You know,
Marcus Rogers. Well, I'm going to call you out, Marcus Rogers. Whoever you are out there. I mean, we don't...
The psych ward.
I looked you up on Facebook. Yeah. I couldn't find you.
I mean, and that could, you know, oh, man, like, oh, goodness, that hurts. Because it's like, No man, especially after their death, should be judged for their worst mistakes in life. Your life you live and you no longer live it, move on.
Mm-hmm.
Why even go down that road? How would be in the flip position if Kobe is that guy's uncle, whatever, and he deals with the same rape case, but he had to be there and show Kobe love the whole time? And, you know, and we fight for the people that we love in their most strenuous circumstances. Like, no matter how dirty or how down low those things are, we still love our family. We're still there for our family.
Right.
Kobe was family to a lot of people.
Think about the millions of kids he helped. Like, just by... By being a, what do you call it,
a role model?
A role model.
Yeah.
Like, he always said, just work hard, you know, do things, work harder than anyone else.
Right. Mm-hmm.
That's what you gotta do.
Yeah, it helped out a lot of people, for sure.
But all I wanna say is that, you know, it shows you how life, how vulnerable it is. Like, any day, you could be driving down the street. People are scared of planes, even though driving is a lot more dangerous. And it's like, any time, any moment. So, Ellen said it the best way, you know, it's like, if you have somebody you love,
Go tell them you love them.
I haven't been very good about this, and I can admit to that, that I haven't been very good about this, and like showing that I love someone as much as I could. So Ellen said it, is like, just go show them you love them, give them a hug, tell them you always be there for them. Even though you're not a perfect person, you still can show love.
Yeah.
So.
And see, I feel that, like, but on another level, because, like, if I'm not, like, on the same level with somebody, like, we're not talking.
Right.
Like, I could forgive you, tell you I forgive you and love you, but I still don't want you in my personal space.
Right, right.
I don't want your negative energy around me, but I can still be woman enough to say, like, you know what? I'm sorry. Like, whatever happened, it happened. Let the past be the past. Let's move forward. But from a distance. My mama always said, we gotta feed people with a long-handled spoon.
Yeah.
I like that.
And I get that, yeah, because, I mean, the time that we have here, as proven, is limited.
Mm-hmm.
It is very limited. And we have this amount of time to get everything in that we can. And if, you know, somebody on the opposite side is trying to hold you back or is literally holding you back, making you a worse person, then... you know, it is time to cut some of those people out, and it's not you. It is you.
You.
But you need to fix you so that you're not hindering me from doing me.
For sure.
From, you know, because if you're going to be this person that brings somebody else down, and they're just trying to be the light in somebody else's life, or whatever the case is, then you're not doing that person a service.
Right.
you could let that person go, and both of you might be better off. And, you know, forgiveness being what it is, down the road, we may or we may not ever reconcile and become friends again, but I forgive you, and I want you to do you and be your best you while right. I'm attempting to be the best me. I can't yep. be that while you're bringing me down.
Yep.
Correct.
And I think that's a good leave, you guys. That's I think we've approached an hour thanks to Aldo and giving us the heads up that we reached an hour. I think that's a good leave.
Well, that's it. Cheers.
One last
amazing lunch.
One last cheers to Ohana Grill.
Cheers, Ohana.
To all the employees in the service industry. Cheers to you guys. Thank you guys very much. I'd like to thank one more time Chef Penny and Ricardo for sitting down and having this conversation with me. I think that was fantastic. You guys, thank you very much. Let's do this again.
Always good hanging with you.
Yes, it was an honor.
Thank you. I'm glad you guys came through and really helped me out with this. And like we said, guys, go out and tell somebody you love them. Give them a hug. Somebody you haven't talked to in a while, long lost friend or whatever, you know how to reconnect with them. Go out there and reconnect with them. Tell them you love them and know that I love you too. And we're all out to try to make everybody's lives just a little bit easier. That selfless service is what we're out for. So cheers to y'all. Episode 3 of Thought for Food is in the books. One more time. Thank you guys. Peace to you.
Damn. That's a really good combo, guys.
Yeah, it was dope.
That was really good.
Thank you guys. That was cool. So that's how that works. That's Thought for Food.